You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hey, I've got a special guest in the studio. He's the winner of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for his show. He's playing at the Hollywood Avondale tomorrow. Ross Sutherland, hi, how are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us in the studio this morning.
Hello, thank you for
welcome to New Zealand.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I've had a lovely time here so far. Well, no, I've mostly been sleeping. Yeah, my dreams have been lovely.
Have they?
But now I am awake.
Well, welcome.
And,
this is one thing we do.
It continues.
Yeah. Hey, Ross, you're here for a show tomorrow night at the Hollywood in Avondale, which is a wonderful venue if you haven't been there before. We're just talking about the importance of venues and donated spaces. And that's what's happened. The Edinburgh's been the Hollywood, both easily muddled up, those two, aren't they? The Hollywood's been rejushed and is now an important hotspot in the city, and you're going to play there to take your show called Stand By for Tape Backup.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is an incredible space. Like, it's looking out for the first time yesterday, and it just seems
perfect for your jocularity and your shenaniganizing.
It totally is, particularly because this is a show all about cinema. I mean, it's about film in general, but like it's got a lot to do with sort of my granddad and my entire sort of relationship with my granddad was all about going to cinemas and, you know, watching films and stuff like
that.
On
the big screen.
Yeah. It basically, all me and my granddad would do, because he'd be sort of left looking after me when I was little. He would just like take me to the cinema every single time, which is why we ended up seeing Ghostbusters 5 days in a row.
5 days in a row. Was that the onset of an aged mind not really remembering he'd taken you the first 4 days? Or was that a... No disrespect to your grandfather. Or was that him just going, now this movie's awesome, I'm going to take him again, even if he cried those first 2 times? How old were you when you went to see Ghostbusters?
I was 4 years old.
That's too young. That's small.
Yeah,
that's
like,
small.
Ghostbusters is not a comedy when you're four.
No.
Because like, you can't understand like any of the jokes. You don't, you know, like Bill Murray, his genius is just sort of, just completely...
But there is something that, like, I went to a school dress up day the other day, and they all had to choose to be a decade. You know, they were told every year, primary school, you know, like little kids, and they every year was a certain decade. There was the 30s, the 40s, 50s, you know, 60s, obviously 70s, and then 80s. And man, were there some Ghostbusters in the 80s? You know, from these little kids, and then they play the music, and the kids will go crazy. And there's something about that movie. Something about that theme. Something about that imagery.
Yeah.
That really connects with kids still to this day.
Yeah, it's
and
like
obviously,
ball lightning, isn't it?
You must be bored shitless.
I have a really, really high tolerance for boredom in general. No, I think everyone has like one film which is like their version of this. Like for my sister, it was like Dumbo. Every morning we would watch Dumbo. Like you'd come on, it was all she would want to watch like all the time. Like for my brother, it was Cool Runnings, and you know, like, and he would just like love that film, and like he would stand
cool
in the mirror and be like, "You're a badass. It won't take nothing off nobody." He would like do this speech like right from his little. And, like, so that was my version of that, and it scared me witless when I saw it in the cinema the first time, but I kept wanting to go back. I wanted to conquer it. The more times you watch it, the more it can...
But you didn't really have an option, did you?
Yeah.
You're tucking your shirt, and here we go, let's go. So your late grandfather, I guess, you miss him terribly. How does he survive in this show that you're going to be performing tomorrow night?
So it turns out that, like, I mean, I only vaguely remember this, but we had this videotape, which was a tape that me and my
remember granddad... videotape for a start.
Yeah, if you don't know what a videotape, Google videotape, and you can see what I'm talking about. So we had this tape that we put all of our favorite TV shows and films onto, and it was like, you know, I'd put new stuff onto it, and then he put stuff over the top of it, and it was just this.
It was the family compile.
I don't know why, in like two generations of my family, we only have one videotape, but like it was new
technology.
Well,
you can reuse them, you see. You can over here record. Have you finished watching that? We can record something else over top of that. Save you the time and the bother.
I know. We had this tape, and then like it was used to the point that it was just so messed up, it was almost unusable again. And then after my grandparents died, it ended up coming to my parents, it ended up coming to me. It was in my loft for many years. And when I found it again and when I watched it, it was just this amazing little window back into his life and, you know, and the things that he kind of loved and he held on to. And so I was just like, well, this tape is just like, this is my kind of memory of him. So if I could take this and unpack all the stuff that's back on this tape, I could tell like his entire story and my relationship with sort of him. So I got the, so on that tape, it's got the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm still kind of, I mean, I'm almost impressed that my granddad turned out to be a massive fan of the Fresh Prince. It's just sandwiched.
I think a lot of old people were, a lot of senior citizens were fans of the Fresh Prince, but I mean, it was just hard to, you know, acknowledge that, I yeah. think, publicly, in the, when most things you were into were not like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's...
He had just all these interests I knew nothing about in a weird way. And it's got a bit of Jaws on there, and it's got a bit of a game show called The Crystal Maze, which we both really loved. And so...
That's when you just when you started up again, hasn't it? The Crystal Maze?
Yeah, it's just come back. Yeah.
It's strange.
I mean, it's weirdly... I feel like, actually, like, nostalgia is going to caught up with... The show a bit, because lots of the stuff that's on there now, yeah, actually.
So is the show, I mean, you don't win a Edinburgh Fringe Award just with a show about nostalgia.
I think what it is that it's maybe partly the way that it gets kind of repackaged together. I took the material and I chopped it up and I kind of looped sections of it, and then I wrote in a way that like my words would kind of synchronize with the footage. A little bit like, you remember Dark Side of the Moon and The Wizard of Oz? And
you
put them at the same time.
Oh, that's good. That's some strange alchemy going on there, yeah.
Alchemy, exactly, is the word, yeah. And that idea of just like this always bizarre synchronicity start to come out. Well, that was what I tried to do. I was like, well, I'm just going to tell this story about my granddad, and you're going to be watching this footage behind, and then you're going to start to realize that there's all these links between it. So almost in the opening credits of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, almost everything that Will Smith is doing becomes this weird metaphor for what I'm talking about. So you get this kind of uncanny feeling that there are all these kind of strange kind of connections going between it. So it took like a really long time to write. It was like I would watch a second of the video, write a line, watch another second, write another line. Yeah. So everything perfectly, shot for shot, syncs up with this videotape.
So how long ago did you start this project?
Oh, yeah, started it. I found the tape in about 2010, and then I probably first took it out in about 2014, and I've been doing it.
Wow, cool.
Around since then, yeah.
Have any of the people that feature in the tape ever seen the show?
I sent a link to Richard O'Brien, host of the Crystal Maze, but he's quite...
Richard O'Brien, like the Rocky Horror.
He lives
here now. He lives in New Zealand.
You're joking.
He's a Hamiltonian.
What?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
No wonder.
Can we get him to come tomorrow night?
If anybody knows a way to get in touch with Richard O'Brien, because...
I'm sure that you or I could do that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we can.
Yeah. I mean, there's something lovely. I find anyone who kind of like makes a show or writes a song or makes a bit of theatre about someone else, that is, the longer you do it, the more... you come closer and closer to that thing.
Yeah,
it just like you kind of just like will it out. That would be amazing.
Yeah, well, let's see what we can do. Sarah's got the phone out already. He's like, that's tomorrow night. The show's on tomorrow night at the Hollywood in Avondale. If you want to buy tickets, they're from undertheradar.co.nz. So it sounds like do you exercise some demons as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, maybe. It's because it was so hard to write, you know, like it became like so much more kind of personal, I think, as a result.
And what were you doing before this?
My background, ever since I was a kid, I used to love writing poetry. In fact, my grandparents encouraged me to kind of write poetry. They used to write like nonsense verse, and I used to write nonsense verse and send it to them in the post. And It was always like a passion of mine, kind of doing that. And then I became obsessed with finding like harder and harder like poetic forms to write in. So like you do kind of sonnets, and you're like, yeah, right. And then you do like haiku. And then I got into these weird
poetry challenge,
these weird like French ones. There's this one called a univocalism, which is a poem that only contains one vowel. So like Snoop Doggy Dog. For example, only O's, right? Wow. So you write only using one vowel all the way through, and actually the harder you made it to write, the more kind of like exciting you got, and you stopped thinking about, oh, should I write about this or should I write about that, and it just became like a puzzle you had to solve. So that's it. It was getting harder and making those harder things. I mean, eventually I was like, I'm gonna take this videotape and this is gonna be my poetic form.
Fantastic, awesome. Hey, and we'll have a great show tomorrow night, and we'll see what we can do about trying to get you in touch with Richard O'Brien.
Oh my gosh.
And it's been a really great pleasure having you in the studio. Thanks very much for coming in. The show's called Stand By for the Tape Backup, and our guest has been Ross Sutherland. Thanks, Ross.
My pleasure.
If anybody
Thank you.
Wants to grab a ticket, I suggest you do so now. It's from undertheradar.co.nz. Am I correct, Mike?
Correct, yes, you are. You're
now,
correct.
You've picked a song for us. Any particular reason why you picked this track?
Why not?
Because actually, on the tape, we found Thriller on the tape that my granddad put Thriller on this video.
Sounds like your granddad was pretty funky.
He was pretty cool. and so like having to write a version of Thriller where I looked at all Michael Jackson's dance moves and had to imagine, is this like some sort of weird sign language that I have to like translate?
Wow.
If Michael Jackson was trying to communicate to me or the other side of a window.
Oh, shit. Okay, you've gone crazy. Right.
The parameters involved in this are fantastic.
I spent a week in trying to shake those thoughts out of my mind. Oh, no, is this what happens? Right, is this, okay, right, okay, challenge, let's go.
We're definitely going though, mate. Come on.
Okay.
See you guys there Friday.
Breakfast with Mikey Havoc, thanks to Burger Fuel.
Thanks Ross.
You hit the doors. land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. Stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.